So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
This is Heart Health Month. We reached out to the good folks at Northwestern to give us some expertise. And Dr. Wilcox, it's your turn. Thanks for joining us on WGN.
Good morning, John. Happy to be here. Happy to be on air with you.
You know, we talked to one of your colleagues a little while ago, Dr. Zaidi, about how to maybe prevent some sort of cardiovascular event. But if something happens, maybe we should talk a little bit about cardiovascular care. That's kind of where you come in, right?
Absolutely. It's my privilege to direct the section for heart failure treatment and recovery here at Northwestern. And we can talk a little bit about what is heart failure. It's kind of a terrible misnomer. It's really heart function, and we can improve heart muscle function. And we have lots of personalized treatments for patients and their families.
Yeah. Why is heart failure a misnomer? It sounds to me like that's pretty descriptive. What's wrong about that?
Yeah, so heart failure simply means that the heart muscle itself is weak. And heart failure is really a syndrome, a clinical syndrome, where patients are short of breath. They have these signs and symptoms that are really pathognomonic for this heart muscle dysfunction. So their fluid can build up in their lungs. You may have heard the term congestive heart failure. So fluid is build up in the lungs. That can lead to breathlessness, fatigue, and swelling in the legs. And so all of that together is the sort of clinical syndrome of heart failure.
Is there a way to know if I'm suffering from heart failure? It sounds fairly pervasive, like maybe people don't even realize they're suffering from it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the lifetime risk of heart failure is actually 1 in 5. So 1 in 5 of us will develop some form of heart failure over our life course. And a lot of times it's really sort of sneaky, right? Because as we get older, we may start to slow down. We may do less because we think we're getting older, more tired, you know, taking the elevator instead of taking the stairs. And so it can be a little bit sneaky, but the symptoms to really watch out for are that really progressive shortness of breath, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, feeling short of breath, feeling more fatigued, sometimes being nauseated in younger folks, and again, lower extremity swelling. Those are all signs and symptoms that you really need to get checked out by your doctor, you know, because you might be at risk for or suffering from heart muscle dysfunction or heart failure.
I wouldn't say that about all of the things you just said, but a lot of those things you just said describes all of us most of the time, especially during a pandemic, you know?
Exactly.
We're lethargic,
exactly.
We're not exercising, we don't feel well, we're short of breath because we're nervous. I mean,
yep. We've put on some weight. We've put on the COVID-19, right?
So how do I know one from the other then?
It can be really tricky. I think this is where, you know, it's important for us not to really pay attention to our bodies and not try to play doctor, and go get checked out by your physician. Because a lot of times, you know, in my business, I see patients who, you know, they've been suffering with these symptoms for 6 months or so, and they come in very, very sick. And if we can catch it early, we have lots of medical treatment, as well as, you know, device treatment that can kind of, you know, stop this moving train and reverse the heart muscle dysfunction.
Well, the heart's a muscle, so how about this? Before I do any of that, I'll just promise to start walking more or doing some aerobic exercise. I mean, then that'll exercise my heart and maybe I'll beat this thing without even having to go see you. What do you make of that strategy?
Oh, that's a good thought. The heart is a muscle, but it's not like your bicep. The more that you use it, it'll get stronger. It's one of those where you know, walking is absolutely good for your heart health, but actually exercising itself is not going to directly strengthen the heart muscle. However, it is important to stay active and be very, you know, not a couch potato, because if you can notice these, you know, subtle signs and symptoms of, you know, I'm only able to do 3 flights of stairs and I normally can run up 6 flights of stairs, you can notice these things earlier and perhaps pick it up a little bit earlier.
The heart is not like a bicep. It's not a muscle that by strenuous exercise, it gets stronger. I've never heard that.
That is correct. It's important to exercise in order to reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease in general. That would be atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. But exercise in general is not going to, you know, strengthen your heart or reverse heart failure. Okay. That's where you really need to talk to a doctor.
I understand that. But so are you saying that for the purposes of heart health, walking is as good as running?
You know, essentially anything you can do to break a sweat, you know, 20, 30 minutes most days a week is absolutely going to be beneficial for your heart health. So for some of us, that might be walking, and for others, it might be a brisk jog, sort of tailoring it to your, you know, to your level of fitness.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we conflate weight loss with heart health, right?
So absolutely.
If I'm walking, I'm burning calories. Burning calories is good. And we presume maybe that translates to heart health. What do you think of that?
So, you know, I think heart health is multifactorial, right? So it's not only, you know, maintaining a healthy weight, but it's more than that. So it's taking care of this muscle and the arteries that feed the muscle, the electrical system. So heart health and the vascular system throughout your entire body. So that's eating healthy foods, not smoking, avoiding getting diabetes. All of those things are really this multifactorial system that help maintain our heart health.
Well, Doctor, when we started this conversation, Dr. Jane Wilcox is on the phone line, cardiologist and chief of the section of heart failure at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. It's Heart Health Month, can you tell? So when we started this conversation, though, you know, you said 1 in 5 people will have some measure of heart failure. What about more advanced heart failure, where it's something more severe? Can you talk about that and what we do?
Absolutely. So for a subset of patients with heart muscle dysfunction and consequently heart failure, you know, the medicines or the interventions that we have, the device interventions, they don't work anymore. They've stopped working. Or perhaps a patient's heart muscle dysfunction or heart failure is so advanced that they are, you know, their short-term mortality is high. And when we think about those patients, that's where we reach for the sort of subset or rare heart transplant, or patients who might receive what's called a ventricular assist device. And that's where we do about 2,500 our heart transplants in the United States a year. At Northwestern, we do a fair number, not 2,500, but we have some patients who qualify for heart transplant and frankly wouldn't survive without one. And so we're grateful for donors and their families to really make that a possibility for our patients.
What sort of medicine do you practice, doctor? I know you're a cardiologist, but are you a surgeon too? What do you do?
So I am a medical doctor by training, internal medicine, and then trained in cardiology and advanced heart failure. So I see patients with all degrees of heart muscle dysfunction, and I direct our program from patients who respond to medicines, patients who might need a device therapy, all the way to patients who need transplant. So I work very closely with my surgical colleagues and our patients and families to sort of determine which patients may be candidates for heart transplant or that ventricular assist device that I mentioned.
Is it always pretty clear what's needed? I mean, when you all, I suppose you have scanning devices.
Clear as mud.
Yeah.
No, I think it takes a team, right? You know, it takes a whole team of, we have nurses, social workers, psychologists, you know, different kinds of cardiologists and surgeons to really think through what the best approach is for each individual patient.
Well, what do you make of the medicines that we take to, I think when a lot of us think about our heart and our cardiovascular system, our arteries and veins, we think about the plaque that's built up in there, and
right.
Gee, we wish we hadn't have done that. what do we do about that? How can we remedy that?
Yeah, that steak dinner was maybe a mistake, right?
Well, yeah, I know, but you know, and then you say, well, but I don't eat a steak dinner very often, so I am going to allow myself an occasional steak dinner and hope that I'll survive it. I think a lot of us do that little mental equation all the time and figure, this won't kill me.
And it tastes good.
So what do you do? Have you had a steak lately?
So you know what? I'm going to be absolutely honest. I made a steak for myself and my family last week. So a cardiologist actually ate a steak.
There's the headline.
But what, you heard it here. But really, no. What it is that it's a combination of your diet, but also it's a combination of your genetics and your family. And you know, atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in the U.S., right, and worldwide when we think about it. It's a very common reason for morbidity and mortality. And so what are the things that we can do? And so I often tell patients, you know, focus on eating more of the good stuff instead of trying to restrict yourself the bad things. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a steak now and again, and that's like sort of once a month type of deal, maybe even less than that, that's okay. But if you're focusing on eating more leafy green vegetables, you know, not eating saturated fats, eating more fiber, and talking to your doctor about what is your risk for cardiovascular disease, and potentially starting disease modifying medicines to reduce your risk and of having a heart attack or a stroke or developing heart failure, because our goal is for you or for patients, you know, to live as well as they can for as long as they can.
I want to go back to one last thing that you spoke about, doctor, and maybe I led us down a not perfect path. Later today, I'm going to get on an exercise bicycle, and I'm just going to spin around for a while, and my heart's going to pound, and I'm going to sweat a bunch. That's a good thing I'm going to do, right?
Absolutely.
And I assumed that was really a good thing for my heart, because my heart's going bam, 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 bam. Now, is that good for my heart or not? Is that good for my cardiovascular system or not?
So it is good for your cardiovascular system. I think where we were chatting about is if you have pre-existing heart failure, if you have some heart muscle dysfunction, you know, and some swelling in your legs, or you've got that going on and you're not feeling well, the answer is not, well, I'm going to start a workout regimen. I'm going to try to reverse this train. The answer is go see your doctor and talk about it. But if you so it's not going to reverse heart failure, but it may in fact prevent heart failure if you do not have that condition. That's the
point.
I think
I'm glad you clarified that. And then what was the diet that you were asking about, producer Elif, the keto diet? Would you talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, so I'm not a huge fan of sort of either fad diets or things that are not going to be sustainable for your life. I've tried various diets over the years, you know, trying to eat healthy. And I think what's worked best for me and what I recommend for my patients is to stick with something that's going to work for you. And trying to eat, you know, vegetables, whole grains, limiting your saturated fat intake, and then frankly, you know, limiting your calorie intake to, what's appropriate for your body size, is really probably the best and most sustainable.
Well, this has been a sort of lifelong interest of yours, right? Is there a heart history in your family?
Yeah, absolutely. It is personal for me, John. I always kind of knew I wanted to be a doctor, but my father was diagnosed with heart failure when I was in college, actually was very, very sick, was on the heart transplant list actually for a short period of time, but then in fact got better with the medicines that and the device therapies that I mentioned earlier, and did well for a very long time, but actually has sort of in the last 4 years had deteriorated to the point where he now has a heart artificial heart pump called a ventricular assist device. And that has, he's been living with that now he's on his fourth year.
Wow.
So it is personal.
We live in amazing times, don't we? I mean,
we really do.
The level of care that you are able to provide, that your father is able to receive, in a perfect world, we don't have heart disease, but that we do. How fortunate are we to live in 2021 and have the resources of a Northwestern Memorial Hospital, right?
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's just such a privilege every day, and I'm so humbled by, you know, the treatments that we have, our patients' willingness to, you know, try things, and you know, if you ask 10 people, you know, who wants a heart pump, no one's really signing up to live on a mechanical device. But it really, at the end of the day, it allows, you know, patients to walk their daughter down the aisle at their wedding, or you know, see their loved one graduate from high school or whatever it is. And for my dad, it's seeing, you know, his grandkids grow up.
Dr. Jane Wilcox, cardiologist, chief of the section of heart failure at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Really compelling story and really great information, doctor. We're going to talk to more of your colleagues in the next hour. Thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome. So great to be with you.